Hello, Cleveland. Welcome to another episode of the Dogland Podcast. I am your host, Anthony Jokey. We are continuing our draft coverage this week. Last 2 days, we had an episode on Monday with Jack and Alex, and then yesterday, me and Jack did an episode as well, kind of doing a 7-round mock. And today, we are going to do a full first round mock, and then do the couple teams that don't have first round picks, the Panthers, the Texans, and then the Browns as well. So me and Jackson McCurry are going to do that today. But first, Jack, man, how we doing?
Doing well, man. It is the calm before the storm. It's that time, and Alex calls it the 48-hour rule. It's like any rumor now that you're hearing from pretty much this point, from the time the podcast drops until draft night, you kind of take it with a heavy grain of salt. Like, it's the smoke starts clearing and you start to get a clearer image of what teams are going to do. Like, much like we know that the Patriots aren't getting good trade offers, they're probably going to stay at three. The Commanders aren't taking trade calls at this point, so it's pretty likely they're going to stay at two. So we kind of get a sense of how the top three is probably going to go. But then after that, like, the chaos is going to begin, with Arizona at four. So, looking forward to it, man.
Yeah. You know, it's, I think we embrace the chaos,
yes,
especially because we don't have to be part of it this year.
Yes.
So we could kind of sit back on Thursday night and just have some fun, maybe crack open a beer or two and, watch the Cavs too. You know, they're up 2-0 now.
Can I vent about the Cavs real quick?
Sure. Go right ahead.
Like, I'm happy they're up 2-0. They're playing good. They could be a little better. I'm kind of worried about what's going to happen next round for sure, as long as we close things out. But the difficulty of trying to watch them, it is frustrating. As a Cavs fan, as a basketball fan, like, I have YouTube TV, so I don't have access to Bally Sports. I'm not paying for the app, which I've heard is complete garbage. I go to watch it on NBA TV last night. 6:55 rolls around. This game is not available in your region. Why is it so difficult? I understand Bally's has coverage of the first round. It should not be difficult for me as a basketball fan in Northeast Ohio, and the same goes for baseball, even though I have access to watching the Guardians and Cavs through a VPN, for the casual fan that just wants to sit down and watch the game without any problems. Bally's, MLB, NBA, they're making it incredibly difficult. I found a way to watch the game last night, and I ended up watching it. I was a minute behind everybody else. So if people were texting me about the game, I'm like, well, I haven't seen it yet, so I'll tell you once I see what happens. It should not be this difficult in 2024 to be able to watch a basketball game or watch a baseball game. Like, this is something that the leagues need to make a better effort on. I know Bally's is a terrible situation, and hopefully the Cavs and the Guardians find better things after these their respective seasons to make it easier for fans to watch the games. But it should not be this difficult, especially when the playoffs, like, they know that Bally's is a shit show of an organization, and it should be available to watch on NBA TV. There should be no blackouts, especially in 2024. Like, I understand back in the day why they had blackouts and stuff, but it should not be like this in 2024. So that's my little mini Cavs rant.
Well, and that's not like a Cavs problem specifically. It's just a general TV problem. And yeah, it needs to end. You're right about, like, the MLB2. It makes it so hard for people to watch baseball games. And, you know, you want to grow your product, you need to make watching these things a lot easier.
Yes.
And maybe it's something the government needs to step into at some point. But, you know, that'll be a shit show if the government tries to put their hand on anything. So,
yeah,
at this point, which pile of crap you want to deal with? Bally's and, you know, local sport networks or the government? And it's kind of like a tough
They're
situation.
They're all disasters.
Yeah. And they tried working together, it'd just be the biggest crap show we've ever seen. So,
yeah, the government's got too many problems. They don't need to worry about sports. Just
which is funny when they try to, you know, dip their toes into sports. And
steroids are bad. We must stop them. Yeah, that worked out well.
Yeah, exactly. All right. But I did have a good time last night. That place was rocking.
Yes.
And, you know, it's such a great place to watch a basketball game. And it's nice being up 2-0. We'll see, you know, how the series ends up. I would imagine that they'll have no problem. Probably a gentleman sweep, you know, win 4-1. It's amazing how much Franz Wagner has garnered the attention as the most hated man in Cleveland right now.
He has etched his name alongside Joakim Noah, Draymond Green, Kelly Olynyk, Deshaun Stevenson. Lest we forget about him back in the day with the Wizards. But yeah, and people were like, which Wagner twin should we hate? Well, I don't
Both.
like, but let's just say both, because I think they both went to that team up north and
They
played
did.
college ball. But yeah, they're both annoying. You get that a lot with the international players because they grew up playing a different style of basketball and then they bring it over to the States. But yeah, I mean, Orlando's going to be good, I think, here for the next couple of years. They're young, they're scrappy. They need to get some more veterans in there with playoff experience. And this was much like the Cavs a year ago. You know, we came in, we thought we were mega talented, think we were going to go on a magical ride with Donovan Mitchell and the rest of the core four. But you know, we got slapped in the mouth and we couldn't overcome it. And I think that's what Orlando's going through right now. Like, I do think they'll still probably steal one at home just because playing at home, you play different, you get ready different, and you end up performing differently on the home court. But yeah, I think the Cavs are just, they're doing to the Magic what the Cavs got done to them by the Knicks last year. And it's good to see, like, seeing Jared Allen and Mobley fighting inside, Garland hitting some clutch shots, and of course, Donovan Mitchell. It's good to see him back out there 100%, and he's the guy that, you know, the Cavs traded everything for and that what they were hoping for. So hopefully they keep this up. Winning a playoff series, I think, will be good for that franchise. But then, you know, facing Boston very likely next round, that's going to be a tough task, and that's going to be an interesting series. I don't think it's going to end well for Cleveland, but we have seen crazier things in this town for sure.
Yeah, I can't wait for that one. We fought with them the times we played them this year, so maybe we just match up well
Maybe.
against them. And hey, if it goes, six games and it's a really competitive series against a team that by far had the best record this year, I think that would be a major win for the direction of everything. But I could see, Cavs maybe pushing this thing to 7 if it really, gets competitive. And I'm secretly hoping that the Magic series and I can't remember who Boston's playing in the first round stretches out a game or two so I can go to one of the games when they come back to Cleveland for game 3 because I'll be in Seattle a week from tomorrow. So I'm hoping that I could get back in time to catch one of the home playoff games because I know if they come back and that series is tied 1-1, that game 3 is just going to be an electric atmosphere.
Yes.
So I'm hoping that that's going to be the case.
Oh,
But
for sure.
let's dive into football talk and work on this first round mock draft and then those few extra picks. And we decided, I guess I decided that I'm going to go first. We kind of joked about our last episode that we're going to do a coin flip, but I think I've gone first every time we've done this. So, we might as
Might
well,
as well continue the tradition.
keep that going. And the Chicago Bears have the first overall pick. And see, I would have done this differently if I was Chicago, but that's just me.
Yeah.
I would have kept Justin Fields and drafted Marvin Harrison number one, or even traded back a couple spots to take him. But, they decided to trade Justin Fields to the Steelers, and now they need a quarterback. And there's no doubt that they are going to take Caleb Williams number one. So my work is easily cut out for me that I could just take Caleb Williams number one and not have to think about it. But have fun now.
Yeah. I mean, I got Washington at 2, and if you'd asked me at the end of last week, I would have said they're going in another direction, but it seems like that smoke has cleared. I do think it's funny though that some of the media insiders and stuff are like, "Well, this isn't free agency. Jaden Daniels doesn't get to pick where he wants to go." If he doesn't want to go to Washington, he can force Washington's hand to go in another direction, trade the pick. Pick somebody else and him slide down to where he potentially wants to go. But it seems like that's kind of cooler heads have prevailed. And I do think that the defending Heisman Trophy winner will end up in Washington with Dan Quinn with offensive coordinator Cliff Kingsbury, which I think is a good fit for him, and the type of offense Kingsbury runs is, I think, is something that'll suit Daniels. So a new start in Washington with a new quarterback, Jaden Daniels, to the Commanders.
All right. This is where it gets fun. Because
we can do trades, by the way. We didn't talk about this beforehand. So if you want to do a trade,
I have a trade for later on, okay. But, or at least in mind, depending on how things fall. But, I feel like with New England, they had Bill Belichick for so many years, and now they don't. And Bill was always so unpredictable about what they're going to do when it came to the draft, whether it be trade up, trade down. I'm not sure if you got to see his interview with McAfee the other day on his show, but he gave a great answer when it came to, you know, the draft process and his thought process when it came to, you know, when they were picking almost always, you know, 28 to 32 and what his, you know, thoughts were with that. But, you know, with the season they had last year and him moving on now, they are picking third in the draft. And I don't think he ever picked that high when he was there, because they were always so good for so many years. So now they have a new regime in there and a new head coach, and they need a quarterback. And there's two options considered, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy. I think you got to go Drake May. Go 1, 2, 3 quarterbacks off the board.
Yeah, I think that's ultimately how it goes as well. So now we get to Arizona, and this is where things could get a little chaotic because they're sitting in a spot where they could take arguably the best player in the draft. They can move down for a team that needs a quarterback. You know, you look down the board, the Jets or the Giants, Minnesota, Vegas. But I feel like they've had this pick in pen since the season ended. I just think, you know, you have Kyler Murray, they're sticking with him. You might as well get him a new weapon out there. And he's probably the best wide receiver prospect, at least since the last time they picked a wide receiver this high in the draft, and that was Larry Fitzgerald. It's easy. Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to Arizona, and he's going to look great in that red and white, much like he did in the red and white in Columbus.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, thankfully, he's not going to a division rival. That would not be a fun thing at all, you know, to see him twice a year. So thankfully he'll be out there, and I'm not sure when we play Arizona next, it'll be fun to see Marvin when eventually that time comes. So now the Los Angeles Chargers. I had to stop and correct myself because I'm still not used to it. Okay. I'm not sure if I ever will be, and I would imagine majority of us are in that realm. But they also have a new head coach, and we talked about the team up north earlier with the Wagner brothers, and Jim Harbaugh decides to go back to the NFL and is now the head coach of the Chargers, and they do have a quarterback, Justin Herbert, but it's seemingly they got rid of all the wide receivers this year in the offseason. So I would imagine that's the route that they would go. If I'm Justin Herbert, I'm pounding the table for a receiver. And there's a couple options here. Malik Nabers out of LSU, Rome Odunze as well from Washington. But I think that Nabers is the route that they will go for the Chargers.
Yeah, it makes a ton of sense. They drafted Quentin Johnson a year ago. So you pair up another young superstar potential receiver in Malik Nabers, who LSU just continues to pump out receivers. Like the last decade, Beckham, Landry, Justin Jefferson. I feel like I might be missing somebody else, but yeah, I mean, Nabers is going to be electrifying, and there's some teams that have him over Marvin Harrison, and that's crazy to me, seeing how great Marvin has been, but Nabers definitely has that potential. So now we get to the Giants. And this is an interesting one because they've been linked to quarterbacks. They've been, you know, they have Daniel Jones, who they signed him to a relatively good deal for him, but they can get out of it. You know, there, that's an interesting situation there with Brian Daboll and their GM and Jones, who they didn't draft him, but they kind of helped propel him and the Giants to the playoffs in their first year. So they've been linked to McCarthy. He's here on the board, but I don't know if they're going to go that route. I could see them going in a number of directions because it's a team that needs just about everything. But I'm going to go offensive line here. Like, they have Andrew Thomas. You might as well get another bookend tackle. And I'm going to go Joe Alt, offensive tackle, Notre Dame, going to the Giants, helping solidify that offensive line and hopefully trying to resurrect Daniel Jones coming off that neck injury.
Yeah, getting him some more protection with, you know, arguably the best tackle in the class will definitely help with that. So the Tennessee Titans are on the clock, and I would say they also need offensive line help desperately. The sad thing is that I'm looking at this name on the board, and I am terrible at pronunciations.
Fashanu from Penn State.
I kind of want to give it a shot. Alum Yiwa Fashanu.
I think that's pretty close, actually.
It's funny how much these names have given me trouble over the years, but I will go Fashanu, offensive tackle out of Penn State for Tennessee, to give Will Levis a chance in his second season.
All right, so we're at Atlanta, and Anthony, since you own the Minnesota Vikings pick, would you want to come up for a quarterback here at this point?
I don't think so, because if you look at where the board is, or who the teams here, you have Atlanta, Chicago, the Jets in front of them.
Okay.
The only thing that you could make an argument for is that would they be trying to outbid the Broncos at this point? For a chance to move up.
And that's why I'm throwing that out there, because I own the Broncos pick too. So
it's a tough thing.
And you own the Raiders too, so that you got to keep that in mind as well.
Yeah, you get quite the bidding war, I guess. Yes. So I mean, when you look at the Falcons, you know, they got a shot to trade down, maybe to Tennessee also to take a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Or to take quarterback in that spot. And I'm not saying Tennessee take a quarterback, but maybe for the Giants as well, they could, you know, drop down and take a offensive lineman. Maybe the Chargers also, mm-hmm. if they like one of the other receivers. So, you know, that 5, 6, and 7, I think that you're going to see one of those teams potentially move down from there. If, you know, we don't get total chaos in the first few selections. So I guess it's kind of up to us to decide between the Vikings and the Broncos and the Raiders. Who's going to give up the most to move up to number 8? If you're Denver, what are you looking to give up?
Let's pull up the trade chart here. And who we say, Atlanta? Okay. So 8 and 12, obviously. Denver doesn't have much capital. They got 76, and then you're looking at next year's 1 or next year's 2. So this would be like, what are they going to give up here? We'll go back with another team real quick. Minnesota. Minnesota's got the 2 ones, so that's
it.
That's key. They got 11 and 23, but then they don't have any
capital.
But they don't have much for the rest of the way. I mean, they got a lot of picks down the board in day 3, and they got next year's 1, next year's 3. So they don't. And then we'll go to Vegas real quick. You got Vegas.
Oh, yeah. You said Oakland earlier, not Vegas.
Yeah. Well, you know. But they got 13, 44, 77 this year, plus their 1, 2, 3. So they got the most ammo to move up.
And when you look at Atlanta, they have pretty much all their selections. It looks like plus another one there in the 3rd round.
And they're the team right now linked to Penix. They're kind of linked to Penix. And there's the rumor that Atlanta wants to draft Penix. Like, they like Penix. So I think that's trying to get maybe Minnesota, Denver, or Vegas to move up. So, but yeah, but it all comes down to cost. And I just look at, if I had to pick a team to move up in this scenario, it'd be Vegas because they got the most ammo at this point.
But if you're Atlanta, is there somebody here that you would really like for them? And maybe, take, I know they got Kyle Pitts, but you got Brock Bowers from Georgia, local guy. Is there anybody that you would consider that they should take versus, trading down a few spots based on their needs?
I mean, if they stay, they're probably going to draft. I'd probably say Dallas Turner because they do need pass rush help on the defensive side of the ball. He's the best one available on the board. I mean, they could go corner with Terry and Arnold. They could go Latu-Latu or Liatu-Latu. They could, shock people and take Mitchell from Toledo, which, get a little action in this draft. So there's a number of scenarios they could go here, but. They could also move back and still probably get one of those guys if they move drop down into the past 11, or if they go 11, 12, or 13, they could probably still get one of those guys.
I would say Minnesota made that trade to get extra ammo. And I don't know if it's going to take two firsts to move up three spots there. So, maybe they go 11, 108, 129, future fourth,
Sure.
and for number eight. So that was still leaving with 23 and then a smattering of late round picks there in day three.
Yeah. We'll do that. Oh, the trade has been, how can it be rejected? I'm controlling all the teams. That's
The
goofy.
computer said you're not allowed to do anything.
I guess not.
You cannot go God mode on this mock draft and do whatever you want.
Let's try this again. So maybe if it's.
The third next year.
Yep. I'll do this again one more time. Atlanta.
This is riveting stuff for people that can't see what we're doing right now.
It Okay. Well, maybe we're not doing trades because for some reason, even though I control all the teams, that we're just so we're just gonna stick here at 8. Sorry for the riveting content, folks, but we'll stick here at 8. There's going to be no trades, I guess, in this mock, and I'm going to go Dallas Turner 8 to Atlanta to help solidify help up that pass rush down in Atlanta.
I love when a solid plan just goes to the wind because the technology don't want to work. All right, so Dallas Turner to Atlanta. The Bears are back on the clock, and I know we can't do trades, but this is like a prime spot for the Bears to trade down because they do not have many draft picks. So, if this is a spot where the Broncos, the Vikings, the Raiders all want to trade up to. I could definitely see the Bears like start to trade down maybe a few times from the spot to try and collect some draft picks. But since we are not doing trades right now, I've been talking to my one Bears friend a lot about the draft, and I've voiced my opinions a lot on what they should do to have just the most dynamic offense as possible. I think they need another receiver, which is why, I thought they should have, gone with Marvin and kept Justin Fields. But I would love to see and be curious about like Brock Bowers and Cole Kmet in that same offense along with
DJ Moore.
DJ Moore there.
Yeah.
And I think
And
that
Keenan
would
Allen.
be, yeah. So I think that could be a pretty special thing for a rookie to walk into. And I know he's going to hate me for it, but I'm going to go ahead and do Brock Bowers anyway. I think that would be
Interesting.
a fun offense to watch for Chicago. And they have never had a quarterback throw for over 30 touchdowns. So this would definitely give an opportunity for Caleb Williams to do that.
And it's going to make the Jets fans hate you for this because it seems like Brock Bowers to the Jets is a lock at this point, barring somebody else from above them taking him. But now the Jets are on the clock. And, you know, granted, it's not New York anymore because back in the day when the Jets or the Giants were on the clock, freaking that place used to go crazy. But since Bowers is off the board, the Jets need offensive line help. Mekhi Becton can't stay healthy. The rest of that line has not been very good over the years. You know, Aaron Rodgers coming back off the Achilles. So it's going to be something to watch for sure. So I'm going to address the offensive line with the Jets. Talese Fuaga, the offensive tackle out of Oregon State, makes a ton of sense here. And that is going to be my pick at number 10 for the New York Jets.
All right. So because technology didn't work and we couldn't do trades, J.J. McCarthy just absolutely falls into the lap of the Minnesota Vikings, and they trade or Kirk Cousins leaves and they get a younger Kirk Cousins, pretty much. So there you go, Minnesota. Enjoy J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, and now we're back on the clock with the Broncos, and there's the where the debate comes in. Does Michael Penix make more sense for them? Does Bo Nix make more sense? I think Bo Nix makes a ton more sense for what the Broncos want to do with Sean Payton. That quarterback room, not very good right now. They just traded for Zach Wilson. They have Jarrett Stidham and Ben DiNucci. But I do think they're going to add somebody at some point in the draft, and I don't think they wait. Now, hypothetically, you know, maybe they do take him at 12, maybe they try to move back a little, but then you got to wonder about other teams like the Rams or other teams late in the first that might want to, you know, take a shot on Knicks. But I think Sean Payton doesn't wait. He finds his guy and hits the pick at number 12, Bo Nix to the Denver Broncos.
Which, you know, we got the run of quarterbacks here, and I think we're going to continue that run with the Las Vegas Raiders and go Michael Penix to the Raiders and really make this thing easy. And yeah, five quarterbacks in the first round taken.
Which I'm sure a lot of teams are really pushing for, like more quarterbacks towards the top, which will push down the rest of the premium talent on the board, much like the New Orleans Saints. They're sitting here at pick 14. They've had to give up a lot of players the last couple of years because of their salary cap situation. So they're in a good spot. They need to address the offensive line and the defensive line. I think, you know, they are going to address the offensive line here to try to help Derek Carr. Or who and whoever the future quarterback may be down the road, they're going to take Troy Fontenot, offensive tackle, Washington, who was a guy I really loved early on in the college season as a possible draft pick for the Browns. But obviously, he rose up the draft boards here with a good run with the Washington Huskies getting to the national championship game. So Fontenot to the Saints.
You know, seeing some of these players still on the board, we need to do a good job before I see these
Yes.
Bengals
Yeah,
and Steelers
we'll get some talent off the board for them here pretty soon.
coming up here. But you know, the Indianapolis Colts will have Anthony Richardson back after after being injured in his rookie season. You know, hopefully he can stay healthy. But they do need a receiver, so I am going to go with Rome Odunze to the Colts.
That makes a ton of sense. They're being rumored to want to move up for a receiver. So makes a ton of sense for them to nab Odunze here at 15, which would be probably one of the steals of the draft if he did end up making it that far. Seattle's on the board. They need help on the line, much like some of these other teams in the stacked offensive line class. But I'm gonna go defense here. They did drafted Devon Witherspoon last year with the fifth pick in the draft, and that worked out quite well for them. They're going corner again. I'm going to take Terrion Arnold, the corner out of Bama, pick 16 to the Seattle Seahawks.
All right. And I think we might get a run of corners here, or at least his first couple. The Jaguars need one. You could argue for receiver as well, but let's get some action here. And Keenan Mitchell from out of Toledo going to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
And you left me with the task of drafting the AFC North teams being the evens, I get to run all three of their drafts. So I get to make my life miserable and our lives miserable.
All right. So you are taking Sam Hartman and some of these guys that won't be selected in the first round at these spots. Right?
I would love to do that, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be fair and non-biased here. The Cincinnati Bengals, we could say they need offensive line help, and it's true they do. But they need defensive line help. They lost DJ Reader in free agency. They need somebody that's going to make an impact in the middle of that defensive line with Hubbard and Hendrickson as their edge rushers. This is going to pain me so much, but I am going to take Byron Murphy II, D tackle out of Texas. I think he is going to be a solid interior defensive lineman in this league for the next several years. And it pains me that he's going to be in the jungle in Cincinnati. So hopefully our offensive line will be ready to go up against their defensive line in the Battle of Ohio. But Byron Murphy to the Cincinnati Bengals.
What are the differences you see between him and Johnny Newton there?
I just think Murphy's more explosive. I'll be honest, I haven't dove too much into the first round talents just because if I didn't see them as a realistic option for the Browns, I didn't really spend too much time in it. But Murphy, you just watched how explosive he was on that defensive line in Texas. And I just think he would bring much more of an impact. Johnny Newton, he's a great athlete as well, but I loved Murphy more the more times that I got to watch him last year. Watching Texas football. So I just think Murphy would make more sense there in that scenario.
All right. So now we have the Los Angeles Rams and a tough task here because, the Steelers picked next. So I want to get one of these players off the board. So that way, they don't take them. But I think the defensive line took a big hit with Aaron Donald retiring. And I think they're going to need to, start to rebuild that. So I am going to go with Latu, edge out of UCLA, kind of stay home over there.
Yeah, I was going to say if they do go defensive lineman, he makes a ton of sense because they probably did a lot of homework being in Los Angeles together. So that's a good pick. Pittsburgh, they need offensive line help. They need wide receivers. And me and Alex talked about it the other night. The Brandon Ayuk rumors are still out there. I could see this pick getting moved for Ayuk potentially, but if they don't make the trade, I hate to do this. Brian Thomas, who's the other LSU receiver I was trying to think of, just makes a ton of sense for them. For Russell Wilson, get a big time weapon to pair up with George Pickens on that offense. It pains me to do this, but Brian Thomas to Pittsburgh makes too much sense.
It's sad that we got to pick for these teams, but
I have to pick for these teams. You don't have to.
I got to do shit this time.
Right.
It's funny that they all landed on even picks that you have to pick them.
You did that on purpose. You wanted you were looking at the order and you knew what you were doing.
No, it was more so that I could pick the Bears picks versus the other stuff. So, now we got Miami on the clock. They need offensive line, guard and tackle, defensive tackle, wide receiver and corner. They still have Tyreek Hill down there. We'll see how well their offense stacks up this year, but I can see them going offensive line. They got Amarius Mims out of Georgia. You got J.C. Latham out of Alabama as options for offensive tackle. So I would say we will go Amarius Mims here, offensive tackle out of Georgia.
And we're at the Eagles pick 22 or pick 22, the unlucky number for Browns draft picks of the past. They need help on defense, which is crazy to me because it seemed like they filled their defense full of Georgia players over the last couple of years, and their defense always seems to be firing. But it says they need help at corner, linebacker, safety. They could go wide receiver, I suppose, but they have Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown. So we're not going to go wide receiver here. I am going to go with Nate Wiggins, corner out of Clemson, to the Eagles at pick 22.
It's leaves the Minnesota Vikings at pick number 23. We've taken a quarterback. They still need defensive tackle, O-line, corner. Yeah, I think that with remind me the guy's name up there now, because I'm gonna say it wrong. The
head coach?
The GM.
Oh, Kwesi.
Kwesi, yes. You know, their type of thinking and the positions that they value, you know, I can certainly see edge rusher, corner, being the places that they go here. And I would say that because this player has kind of fallen a little bit, I think they get some great value here and go edge rusher, Jared Verse.
Good pick. Good pick. So now we're at the Cowboys pick 24, which no matter where they're at, where they take the draft, when the Cowboys go on the clock, the fans, you know, do get a little crazy because they are quote unquote America's team. They need offensive line help in a big way. They lost Tyron Smith this offseason. He moved on to the Jets. So when I look, offensive tackle makes a ton of sense. J.C. Latham is still the best one on the board. We're going to go draft him. He's going to be the new left tackle of the Dallas Cowboys.
All right, maybe one of the more surprising teams last year, the Green Bay Packers. You know, we didn't know how they would be without Aaron Rodgers. They put Jordan Love out there. They made the playoffs. Ended up beating the Cowboys in the playoffs. Kind of bringing back some old memories for Cowboys fans, which is always fun to see sad Cowboys fans. I'm kind of with Stephen A. Smith on that part. But, you know, you look at their needs, linebacker, corner, guard, tackle, safety. I would say, you know, they've drafted some great Alabama players over the years, and I'll say that they go Kool-Aid McKinstry, corner out of Alabama.
Best name in the draft class, without question.
Yeah, Kool-Aid.
Everybody
wants some Kool-Aid.
If that endorsement deal hasn't happened already, like, what are we waiting for, honestly?
You know what? He needs to tell receivers, you're going to need some Kool-Aid after I'm done with you to recover, because I'm going to lock you down all day long.
Tampa is next at pick 26. This is pretty easy. They need help at edge. You know, they got some older guys there. Might as well bring some youth in there. And one of my other favorite players in this draft, watching him in the Big Ten, Chomp Robinson, makes so much sense helping that defense as they try to look to get a little younger. But still be a tough force in the NFC. So Chomp Robinson of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at pick 26.
Yeah. See how they do with, after giving Baker a little extension there, and you know, they got a lot, he's got a lot of work to do to keep on proving it down in Tampa. So
without question,
Arizona back on the clock, you know, they took Marvin Harrison, or you took Marvin Harrison for them, earlier on. They still need defensive tackle, corner, a guard, and edge. So with who's on the board here, I would say that I guess there's a couple different routes that they can go, because there are some defensive players here. It would be interesting to see if they could double up on receiver just based on what they don't have there currently. You know, could you pair a guy like Xavier Worthy or Adonai Mitchell with Marvin Harrison Jr., give yourself two very dynamic receivers for Kyler Murray. And if Kyler Murray, you know, doesn't perform this year, then you have two, you know, young receivers for potentially a young quarterback next year. I could potentially see them going that route.
Yeah.
And you have to make the case whether or not, all right, Adonai Mitchell, Xavier Worthy, you know, which one would you think would complement Marvin Harrison the most? I would probably go Worthy just because of Marvin isn't that kind of like speed guy. So I'll go Xavier Worthy to the Arizona Cardinals and go double receivers for them this year.
Worthy, you said?
Yeah.
Okay. That makes a ton of sense. And it probably irk some Buffalo Bills fans who are next on the clock, and we know they need wide receiver bad. Obviously, Stephon Diggs gone, Gabe Davis gone. I think Khalil Shakir is probably their top wide receiver right now. Dalton Kincaid probably their top target in the passing game. So you definitely need there. They also need help at safety because they had to cut a bunch of guys because of cap casualties this year. So Cooper DeJean is there. D tackle, Johnny Newton's there. Like, there's good talent on the board. They come back at pick 60 and they could go wide receiver there too, because I think there'll still be guys there on the board. I look at this, they lost guys defensively. They need to replenish defense. Why don't we do that? And we could get receiver later. I think that's probably how Brandon Bean and McDermott up there in Buffalo will think. I know that'll irk fans because everybody thinks wide receiver is a lock. I'm going to go Johnny Newton, pair him up with Ed Oliver on the interior of that defense that can hopefully force some pressure, and then let the back end of that defense learn, they'll make their mistakes, but hopefully flourish because of the pressure up front from Buffalo's pass rush. So Johnny Newton to the Buffalo Bills at pick 28.
All right, that gives me the task of picking for the Detroit Lions.
And they threw two curveballs last year, so.
I know they did. It'd be very interesting to see where they go here. Based on this, they need edge, corner, D tackle, guard, and receiver. Can you scroll down a little bit to show me edge and corners that are available at the moment?
I will say Cooper DeJean. I don't know why he's listed as a safety. I think that's the knock on him because he's a white corner, but he is a corner and he's a great athlete. So just throwing that out there too.
It seems like a Dan Campbell pick, right?
I mean, he doesn't listen to the narratives. I mean, he took a running back and a linebacker in the first round of the draft when it doesn't happen all that often anymore.
You know, it seems like with Campbell, if guys can play, they're going to be out there.
Yes.
And he's going to put them in the best position possible to succeed. So, yeah, let's go Cooper DeJean to the Detroit Lions.
I like that. All right. I got Baltimore because I got ended up with all three AFC North rivals. They do need a receiver. But they did lose some offensive line help this past year, so they do need to replenish that. They could also use some help on the pass rush, but I think it's a reach with some of the guys left on the board right now. I am going to go Jackson Powers Johnson, the center from Oregon, which maybe they'll move over to guard or move whoever they got at center currently on the roster. We're going to go Jackson Powers Johnson, offensive guard / center from Oregon at pick 30 to the Ravens.
All right, offensive line, because they lost Kevin Zeitler, who's been there quite a few years now.
I think they lost somebody else, too. I can't remember. They lost a couple guys in this past offseason.
So, yeah, they need some protection because we know Lamar's issues at times. So
yes.
You need a good offensive line in front of him. That leaves me with the San Francisco 49ers who need offensive tackle, corner, defensive tackle, guard, or edge. Based what's on the board here. Now, this could change if they end up making the trade and trading Ayuk. Definitely see receiver in this spot. I think we should go offensive tackle here. There's a few options on the board. There's Tyler Guyton out of Oklahoma, Kingsley
Suamata.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Out of BYU, Jordan Morgan out of Arizona. See, we pick each other up on this podcast. We're getting
right, brother.
So I will go with Kingsley and say the second half for me.
Suamata.
Thank you. For the San Francisco 49ers.
Good pick. That leaves me with the defending Super Bowl champion, Kansas City Chiefs. They're going wide receiver, I think, with the Rashee Rice situation, which will probably continue all summer. I'm sure there'll be a suspension at some point. When you look at receiver, they don't have much there. They're continuing to fill in those gaps left by the Tyreek Hill trade a couple of years ago, but they are going to go wide receiver here. And I think they will go with Adonai Mitchell, wide receiver out of Texas, to cap off round one of our mock draft.
And I feel like they would be thrilled if one of those two Texas receivers are there at pick number 32, whether it be Adonai Mitchell or Xavier Worthy.
Yes. Yeah, without question.
All right. So I guess this is my pick because the Panthers didn't have a first round pick. So this will be their first selection. And even though he's not where you know, the board currently, it seems like the Panthers have told Xavier Legette that they are going to pick him if he's there at pick number 33. So I think that's the route we are gonna go here.
All right. And then we're just gonna click off like best players, like best available, like fitting what their needs are. So we're just gonna go real quick. Tyler Guyton, the New England, that makes a ton of sense. We'll go Graham Barton to Arizona. We're at Washington and they need a tackle. So we're gonna go Jordan Morgan out of Arizona. They don't need a receiver because they already took one.
I mean, they need more than one.
Yeah, but they got two first round picks and they'll fill it in. I don't see them double dipping on receiver this early. We'll go Christian Haynes to the Chargers. The Titans will take TJ Tampa at 38. The Panthers back on the clock. They need offensive line, or we'll go Darius Robinson because they need an edge. Washington back on the clock again. They could really bolster that roster big time with three top 40 picks. We will go.
Maybe
we'll go Newbin.
Okay.
And then 41, Green Bay. They need.
Maybe Max Melton there.
Yeah. Well. Yeah, we'll go Max Melton. So we're at pick 42, which is the Houston Texans, which they've had a great offseason, I think people would say. They have really bolstered the talent around CJ Stroud and on the defensive side of the ball, which makes me think they're going to be one of the top contenders in the AFC. But you look, they need help on the defensive line, offensive line, corner, even at linebacker. When I look at the board as it's shaped right now, like they don't need receivers, so Coleman and McConkey off. They could go Zach Frazier. They could go Rook, the D tackle from Clemson, Cooper Beebe. I'll go offensive line just to help solidify that for CJ Stroud. Zach Frazier, I don't, is the versatility is there for him to play both center and guard. So we will go that route, pick 42, Zach Frazier to the Texans, and then we'll scroll real quick. I'll let you have the Browns pick, Anthony, even though it's an even number. We'll go McConkey to the Falcons. That seems like that would be an exciting move. Running back. They need a running back.
Trey Benson.
I think Brooks would be, because Brooks is the best overall running back, I think. I know Benson's number one on this board, but Brooks to the Raiders. BB to the Saints. They really solidify that offensive line in this draft. Colts. We'll go Adijah Isaac from Penn State. Keon Coleman to the Giants. Rook to the Jaguars. Ugh, here we go. This is
the Bengals here.
Jalen Polk. They don't need wide receiver. They still have.
Isn't Mixon gone? Or did he like rework his deal?
No, he's in Houston. He got traded to Houston. But they got Chase Brown and they got somebody else down there. I'm gonna take Patrick Paul, offensive tackle. They finally listen and take an offensive lineman. Adrian Cooper to the Eagles.
Yeah, do not hover over that Buckeye player. Thank you.
Made it make sense.
Ennis Rakeshraw to the Steelers.
Pittsburgh Steelers. Chris Braswell to the Rams are going to double up on Edge. The Eagles.
Kitchens?
Troy Franklin.
Okay.
I just want to kill my dream. All right, so Browns are on the board. And the board shakes up like this right now, guys, for those listening. Trey Benson, Jalen Polk, Cameron Kitchens, the safety from Miami, Michael Hall, Mike Sandstrill, corner from Michigan, Ben Sinat, Chris Jenkins. There's a lot of options here for Anthony because he's going to make this pick.
Why do you put all the pressure on me to make this pick, huh?
This it is starts tough... and ends with you.
I know. This is a tough one. You got Jalen Polk, receiver out of Washington, like you mentioned. A couple of D tackles, Michael Hall, Chris Jenkins, Trey Benson, running back. So a lot of different routes that they could go, with where they're sitting in the draft and where their roster sits, really, that, they could just kind of go, who the highest person is on their board at this moment. Man, this is going to be tough.
You want my 2 cents?
Sure.
Okay. The way this board goes, in reality, they probably move down if this was the board. I do think Polk and Hall would be legit options. I think Chris Jenkins would be a legit option. And then Corley. And that's that. Like those would be the, I think it would be Polk, Hall, Jenkins, and Corley. I think those would be the four.
Because there's no real tackle at the moment.
No, because when at this board, and we're using Pro Football Network's simulator just to do the mock, Rosengarten's the 69th best prospect. Nice. Amagaji is the 92nd ranked prospect. So honestly, like I can see them going wide receiver here, and it would be like Polk or Corley, honestly. And then defensively, I don't see Peyton Wilson being an option. D tackle, like I said, Hall or Jenkins.
Running back, there's Benson, and I think Corum, Will Shipley.
But those guys are like down the board. Benson's on the board. I don't know if we draft a running back at 54, unless it was Brooks. I think if Brooks fell to them at 54, I think that would be in strong consideration. So, but it's up to you, buddy.
You know, I think I'm going to catch a lot of flack for this.
Uh-oh.
Just because of where we live and the players that are still on the board at this moment. But I am going to go with Chris Jenkins out of Michigan. This dude is such a disruptor that I think he would fit in very well on his defensive line, especially with Jim Schwartz, and that's the route that I would go in this situation.
I definitely, like, if he's him and Hall make sense. I think they're impact guys on the defensive front where they will be in the rotation this year, even though the D tackle room is loaded per se. But I think rotating them, either one of them, along with Hurst, Harris, Tomlinson, and Quentin Jefferson, like you keep those guys fresh. And I think that would be the best thing. Like we know how Jim Schwartz likes to rotate everybody around. I just think that would make a ton of sense for what they want to do. And I think that would be the best case scenario for everything.
Yeah. I mean, if you kept Chris Jenkins fresh for the whole game, that's going to be a problem for other teams.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Oh, for sure. I really think so as well.
So, I mean, this was a fun exercise, to go down this full list here. So, I don't know if there's any way we could give a quick recap, some highlights.
I'm going to scroll through the second round real quick and then like finish it up and then just go and.
Gotcha. Well, pick faster.
I'm working on it, man. I'm trying to you know what? I'll just freaking go down the board and just whatever.
Yeah. So that way, for those that are not viewing our screen right now, we could save a little bit of airtime.
Okay. So here's full results. You want me to run through it or you?
I don't know if we have to go like full results. I would say we'll get some highlights here. Like we had 5 quarterbacks going in, the top 13 picks, with Nix and, Penix or no, six quarterbacks. I'm sorry. My math is wrong.
No. Oh, wait. Yeah, you're right. No. Yeah. Yeah. Never mind. Six quarterbacks.
Williams, Daniels, May, McCarthy, Nix, and Penix all going in the top 13 picks, which would be absolutely crazy because I don't think there's been a draft where that has happened before. We have Marvin Harrison going to the Arizona Cardinals. For our divisional rivals, Byron Murphy II going to the Bengals, Brian Thomas Jr. going to the Steelers. The Ravens took Jackson Powers Johnson as a center out of Oregon. The defending champs, Adonai Mitchell, wide receiver, goes to them, the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm not sure if there's any other special thing that we should highlight there, but the Panthers, who don't have a pick in the first round, take Xavier Leggett. The Houston Texans, who don't have a first round pick, take Zach Frazier, a center out of West Virginia. And then at the very end, the Cleveland Browns select Chris Jenkins with Michael Hall still on the board. So y'all can send your hate at Anthony Jokey on Twitter if you really want to. But, you know, they get a defensive tackle that they can rotate out with the guys that they currently have. And I think that that would be a special thing for this defense.
Absolutely. I think if they did go this route, which it was tough because Polk and Corley are good wide receiver prospects, but I mean, they solidify that defensive front with another great talent with bloodlines. In the NFL, his dad was a good player back in the day as well. It just makes a ton of sense. If the Browns do go this route and decide that, you know, he's the best player on the board, I think it would make a ton of sense to help our defense, not only in a rotational role this year, but in the future as his role increases on that defensive line alongside Myles Garrett.
And hey, who knows? Maybe Andrew Berry could make some magic happen and draft both Jenkins and Michael Hall, and everybody could be happy.
I don't know about that, but that would be quite interesting.
At least it would calm down the hate on me for a little bit, you know, for this election. So,
right.
We don't have anything specific planned for the draft this weekend, but I would imagine after the first round on Thursday night, we'll probably get together. Same on Friday and Saturday. We'll probably do like a full recap on Saturday after the draft is all over or after the Browns make their last pick to see where things are. I mean, they could make a real, real late selection there. Maybe we'll have some of the undrafted free agent stuff because that always seems to pop off pretty quickly as well. So,
yep.
We have a lot more content coming this week. We've already done three episodes this week. I've done two. Jack's done three. You know, he did the episode with Alex. So be sure to go back, listen to those other two episodes that we've done. And be sure to give Jack a follow on Twitter at JackMcCurry08. Me at Anthony Jokey. Send all of your hate to me, even though I'm a Buckeyes fan. I think Chris Jenkins is better. Be sure to follow the podcast at The Dogland, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Threads, all at the same handle there. Until next time, anything you want to get off, Jack?
No, just that next episode is episode 400. So what a ride it's been. On draft night, and that I did the count up again recently to make sure it was right. But yeah, next episode will be 400 for us, and what a journey it's been. We started right before the 2017 draft, when we were heading into the worst season in franchise history, and all the twists and turns in the 7 years since, man, it's been quite the ride.
So it really comes full circle that our 400th episode is right before the draft where we started.
Okay. Well, it'll be recapping night one of the draft.
Well, I mean, like when we started, right. it was right before the draft, and now we're having our 400th episode on draft night. So
it's crazy, man.
I know. It's funny how that worked out. Too bad our 400th couldn't have been a Super Bowl episode, but maybe, hopefully, maybe, it's not 500.
Maybe 500 will be our Super Bowl episode.
Well, if we do 100 episodes from now until next year's Super Bowl, that would be a lot.
Yeah, that's true.
But if, hey, we do a lot, that means the Browns are winning. So
Yes.
maybe that is the case. But
Without...
until next time, we will talk to you later. And remember, most importantly, go Browns.